I begynnelsen av oktober så gikk Hamas til terrorangrep på Israel, og det har fått mye oppmerksomhet i norske medier. Nå snakket jeg med Anat og Adi, de er mor og datter, og Adi hun var hjemme når terroristeren slo til, mens Anat, mamma, hun var i Nepal, og vi skal høre litt hvordan det var. Adi, can you tell us about that terrible day and what happened in your home and in your city?
Yeah, so I live in Kibbutz Nachal Oz. I have lived there since I was 2 years old. During the 7th of October, we just went to sleep normally on the Friday night after a holiday dinner with the family. And we woke up at 6:30 a.m. to the sound of the red Tzeva Adom alert, which is used to alert us from missiles falling in our area. But from the first second, we realized it was different this time. There were thousands of missiles falling around us, very near. The noises were so, so loud. We had to run to the shelter. I was at home with my brother and my sister-in-law, and we just ran to the shelter. We realized we have to stay there for a while because the missiles just kept on falling. And then we realized something different is happening this time.
Det Adi sier her er altså at hun gikk og la seg fredag den 5. oktober etter å ha hatt et godt måltid, og så våkna hun og andre familiemedlemmer lørdag 7. oktober av flyalarmen som alltid går når rakettene kommer inn fra Gazastripa. Men de skjønte fort at denne gangen var det helt annerledes. Det var tusenvis på tusenvis av raketter, og sammen med flere av familiemedlemmene sine så søkte hun da ly i tilfluktsrommet, men hun forstod at denne gangen var det noe helt annet.
So we were in the shelter room for a while, and we kept on hearing the missiles falling. And then we started getting text messages from our dad, who lives on the other side of the kibbutz, saying that we have to lock our houses, make sure the lights are off, the windows are locked, the door is locked. And that moment we realized that there are terrorists invading our kibbutz.
Mens hun sitter i bomberommet, så får altså Adi tekstmelding fra sin pappa, som bor på andre siden av kibbutzen, at de må slukke alle lys, låse alle dører, lukke alle vinduer, fordi at det terrorister som kommet inn i kibbutzen eller landsbyen der de bor.
That lasted for a couple of hours where missiles were falling. We knew that there are probably terrorists running around. We started getting text messages from friends asking if we're safe. At that moment, we still didn't know what's happening outside, but we started hearing gunshots and just fighting noises that we weren't familiar with.
De får da etter hvert tekstmeldinger, sier hun, fra venner som spør om de er trygge, og de skjønner jo da at her er det noe spesielt som foregår. Og de begynner etter hvert å høre skudd av våpen veldig nært.
We stayed locked in the sheltered room since 6:30 in the morning until we were actually rescued at around midnight, without living, without water, without food, without going to the restroom. Just locked inside the shelter, protecting ourselves. My young brother was holding the door this whole time with a small knife that he found in the shelter, just praying that no one would come.
De er da i tilfluktsrommet fra klokka 6:30 om morgenen og frem til de blir redda ved midnatt, uten mat, uten drikke, uten mulighet til å gå på toalettet eller andre ting. Og lillebror til Adi, han held døra hele tiden og håper og ber om at ingen må finne dem. Og det eneste de har å forsvare seg med er en liten kniv som de finner i tilfluktsrommet.
Sometimes during the day, around 3 o'clock, we already knew that there are a lot of terrorists inside the kibbutz. We still didn't get the full picture, and we're still kind of trying to put the pieces of the puzzle together. But we realized that there are many terrorists around us. And around 3 p.m., this is when we also knew that the army was patrolling and going house to house to see if there are any injured people, if there is anyone who got hurt, and to make sure which houses have civilians in. So around 3, the army arrived to our house. At first, we didn't know it was the army. We just heard people walking inside our home, searching for things. Then they reached our door. My young brother, who was holding the door, heard them speaking in Hebrew, and he spoke with them through the door. We opened the door. We saw the military. They made sure we are safe, or we are home. And then that moment is when the terrorists started shooting at the army who was inside our house.
Yes. Når klokka ble cirka 3 på ettermiddagen, fortell Adid, så prøvde de hele dagen da å sette sammen puslespillbitene så seg for å finne hva som skjedde, men da hørte de folk i huset som gikk gjennom huset og lette etter huset, etter folk, og det viste seg da at det var folk fra det israelske militæret som gikk fra hus til hus for å finne ut om folk var der, om de var i live, om de var trygge. Og bror henne hørte at soldatene snakket hebraisk, så han snakket med dem gjennom døra. Og mens han pratet med dem, så begynner folk, terroristene fra Hamas, å skyte mot soldatene inne i huset til Adid og Anat.
So while they were in our house, the terrorists started shooting at them from the outside. And they were battling with them from the inside of the house. And we were locked. We were still in the shelter room. We knew that the door wasn't locked. It was very easy to open. And we were just there praying that we will make it out alive.
Adi fortalte at det kom til en skytekamp mellom israelske soldater som da inne i huset her ennå, og terroristene fra Hamas som da utenfor, og de vet at den døra de har gjemt seg bak inn til tilfluktsrommet, den lett å bryte opp, og det eneste de kan gjøre å be om at de skal komme fra det med livet i behold.
At that moment we felt we were lucky because the terrorists came to our house when the military was there to protect us, but not all of our neighbors were as lucky. Most of the people from our neighborhood were either murdered or kidnapped.
Adi säger att de trots allt var heldig som upplevde att terroristen kom akkurat när soldaten var där så kunde befytte dem. Mens de fleste av naboene henne var ikke så heldige, de ble enten drept eller kidnappet. And Adi, is it many of your neighbors that are hostage in Gaza?
Our community has 5 people held hostage in Gaza, 2 of which are young girls, 8 and 14, one elder woman, 85-year-old, and 2 young men, and another young man who we still don't know. He's missing, but we don't know if he's been kidnapped or what happened to him.
Adi forteller altså når de spør om det noen av henne naboer som tatt som gisla av Hamas, at det i alle fall 5 fra henne sitt nærmiljø som tatt, deriblant et barn på 7 og en jente på 14 og en dame på 85, og det noen av dem som de ikke vet om i live i dag eller om de drept.
Most of the day we didn't have phone reception or cellular data, so we couldn't communicate to anyone outside. At around 8 p.m., that was the last time we were able to receive a text message from my dad saying that the army has started evacuating the people from the kibbutz. So we were just sitting, praying, waiting for someone to come and take us out of the house, because the fighting noises and the missiles, the shootings around us was so loud. We thought the battles are still happening and maybe they were not able to reach us. And around midnight, the army came together with our father to take us out of the shelter room. They didn't know if they would find us alive because we couldn't communicate.
Adi fortell da videre at i 8-tida om kvelden var siste gangen de hadde kontakt på tekstmeldinger i telefon, blant annet med far henne, og så hadde de ikke kommunikasjon med andre. De hørte og fikk da vite i 8-tida at det israelske militæret hadde begynt å evakuere folk. Og de hørte jo fremdeles lydene av både raketter og av skyting i nærheten. Og når klokka var 12 om kvelden, så kom altså det militære sammen med Adi sin far, og de visste jo ikke da om de var i live eller død når de åpnet døra til tilfluktsrommet, og så ble de da evakuert.
At the moment where when we escaped, we rushed to the military car that was waiting for us outside of the house. We tried not to look back. We just saw that the house was a mess. We saw all of the windows opened. There were bullets in the kitchen. We tried not to look too much because we realized we don't want to see what's happening. And we rushed to the military car. When we arrived to the point where they evacuated us all, they gathered all the people from the kibbutz in one point before they were able to actually take us out from the kibbutz. Then we met the people from our community and we realized that many were dead, actually, and many were missing. So it took us a couple of days to actually understand the magnitude of this horrible event and to know what happened to who survived, who didn't.
Når da militæret kommer i 12 av natta, så springer de så fort de kan til det samlingspunktet som militæret har. De prøver ikke å få så mye, men de ser kulehull og skjønner at her er det forferdelige ting som er skjedd, men det skal ennå gå et par dager før de sakte, men sikkert får overfikt over hvor mange av sine nærmeste som da er borte, som er drept og som er savnet. Did you know today how many of your friends and neighbors that was killed that day?
From our community, there were 15 people who were murdered. And this is only from our small community. But the whole area is the area where we grew up. Our whole life is there in the different kibbutzim, in the different places, you know, teachers from school, friends from different kibbutzim that are being held hostage, that have been murdered themselves. There are just too many people from the same community. And we still, to this day, keep on hearing and finding out on more and more people that parts of their bodies have been discovered, or remainings of their skull and ashes. It's just unbearable.
Adi forteller altså at i hennes sin lille landsby så er det 15 personer som ble drept, men hun kjenner mange. Det er skolelærere, det er skoleelever, venner hun har gått på skole med og andre. Og fremdeles så blir det funnet både kroppsdeler og andre ting av mennesker som er savnet, og hun vet det hvor mange som da er tatt som gisler. Anat, I have to talk to you a little bit too. You were in Nepal and your daughter were in the shelter. How was your day that day?
I was just starting trekking in to the Everest base camp that time. And it was a very beautiful morning. Then when we came to the tea house, then we saw young guy who is from neighbor kibbutz, and he hold his phone with WhatsApp open, and he told us that there is something really different in the area, and slowly he gave us a little bit information. We first knew about Akfar Aza, where the head of council murdered. I mean, he was fighting and he died. And then slowly we got information about the Nahal Oz as well. And when I tried to call my kids to understand what they are, where they are, what they are doing and what happened with them, then it was impossible because the Wi-Fi was not available. Then we needed to have the information via SMSs. So my sister was in contact with Adi and my son, and then only I could get some information about what's going on there for her, for them.
Anat var altså i Nepal hun, på 5000 meter høyde på Mount Everest av alle plasser i verden denne dagen. Og så det noen som kommer med denne WhatsApp-en sak på telefon, så vi bruker også noen når vi snakker sammen her, og forteller hva som skjer. Og hun får etter hvert vite at det er blant annet en ordfører i området som drept og andre, men hun får da ikke kontakt med datteren sin eller barna sine. I spurte hun da hvordan hun opplever denne dagen. Continue, Anat.
So during the day, we went to the Twitter, we went to the WhatsApp messages, and we tried to get as much as information that we can. And it was horrible to understand that everything that we knew get destroyed, damaged, raped, burned. So many people murdered in a very brutal way. And when we tried, and when I tried to message my friends, there was no answer.
Anat får da vite via ulike kanaler da, i løpet av den dagen at mange i hjemmeområdet henne både drept og voldtatt og tatt som gisle etter hvert, men hun får da ikke kontakt verken med barna sine eller med vennene sine på grunn av at hun der hun. When did you get contact with your children, Anat?
I knew that something happened at 2 hours after everything started. Then first information I got about their situation and their actually survived was maybe 2 hours later, but I could talk to them really only in the next morning.
Anat, hun forteller altså at hun da i løpet av noen timer får vite at barna henne har overlevd og i live, men det går helt til neste dag før hun får kontakt med dem og får prate med dem.
It's a roller coaster. It's an emotional roller coaster. You know, it's been a month and a couple of days, and it's almost as if we were mourning this whole month, just trying to grasp the magnitude of this event, to try to kind of wrap our heads around whatever happened. And we still can't. And until today, you know, you wake up every morning, if you sleep at night, you wake up every morning and you just pray to open the news and to hear about the return of the hostages. And it's just something that you wake up with, you go to sleep with. And there is this chunk that is sitting on your chest this whole time, you know, asking, how is it possible that I'm even here? How is it possible that I've made it out alive, but my neighbor didn't? It's this whole roller coaster of emotions. One moment you smile and then you feel bad for smiling, and you feel, it's hard to even explain.
Jeg spurte altså Adi hvordan hun har det i dag, og hun sier at det en berg- og dalbane av følelser. Hun kan smile, men hun får med en gang dårlig samvittighet for at hun smiler når hun tenker på naboene sine som drept eller gisla, og hvis hun får sove om natta, så våkner hun og lurer på om det en drøm. Det som en, ja, hva hun skal bruke, en jernklo, tror jeg hun brukte, rundt hjertet henne for dette. What do you think about the future?
At the moment, it's hard to think about the future. We still don't know where we're going to stay next week. We are refugees. We are internally displaced in our own country, trying to figure out our next steps, because we know we won't be able to get back home for a good couple of months now.
Jeg spør hva hun tenker om fremtiden av de, og hun sier at det er vanskelig å tenke på fremtiden. Foreløpig er de flyktninger i eget land, kan ikke reise hjem igjen til området der hun har bodd hele sitt liv på lang, lang, lang tid ennå. How much hate do you feel in this situation?
See, I don't feel hate. I feel anger. Of course, I feel hate for the Hamas terrorists who brutally murdered, brutally raped, kidnapped, did horrific, horrific things to our people. I feel hate towards them. I don't feel hate towards the people of Gaza. I feel sorry for them, if anything. I feel a lot of anger towards the government who let this happen, towards the army who wasn't there on time. But I do feel that the army is doing its best at dismantling the Hamas and making sure that this type of event doesn't happen, not to us, but not to anyone else in the world.
Jeg spurte Adi hvor mye hat hun føler på. Hun sa at hun føler ikke på hat, hun, bortsett fra at hun hatet terroristerne I Hamas, men hun føler på veldig sinne mot det som skjedde. Hun føler på sinne I forhold til myndighetene I Israel, så tillot at dette skjedde, og håper og tror at dette ikke skal skje igjen. Anat, when you were here in May, you told me you have friends in Gaza. Did you know something about them today?
No, there is no way for me to talk to anybody there. And still we are so in difficult with ourselves and with the community, the small community that we have here, that we are not able even to go out to try to look for those people. See, many of the people who live in this area, they are really, really friends of the Palestinians that used to live in the other side of the border. And we lost everything. We lost the people who was the head of the communication between us and them. And we need now to find back the way to start all over again. And it will take time.
Anat var jo her hos oss I studio I Ålesund I mai og fortalte jo den gangen at hun hadde venner på Gaza-stripe og hun forteller når de spør om dem at det helt umulig å få kontakt med dem og hun vet ikke så mye om dem og de føler at nå må de begynne helt på nytt igjen. Mange av jødene som bodde langs grenser der hadde venner på Gaza-stripe men nå liksom, må han begynne helt på nytt igjen.
I also want to say that I don't have hate. We are not living on with hate in our hearts. We're really sorry for so many people who live there and actually want to live, but there is no chance for them to live in this situation. So we are very sorry for our situation and we are very angry of our, like Adi said, government and maybe the army, but we are not growing our kids for hate and we don't want, and I don't think that anyone will do it even now. We don't want those things to happen to anyone, anywhere.
Anat säger att de vill inte att detta ska ske mot någon, varken där eller andra platser, och de önskar inte att lära upp barna sina till hat och de önskar inte att bli fyllt av hat för de känner på ett stort sinne både mot egna myndigheter och inte minst mot dem som gjorde detta.
We are not angry at what the army is doing currently in Gaza. We think this is the necessary response for what happened and that Hamas needs to be destroyed from the core. When we say we are angry at the military is only that they weren't as prepared to this kind of attack.
Ja, de presiserer at de når de da snakker om å være sint på det israelske forfaret, så det fordi at de ikke var klar til å forhindre dette, var våken nok på det. Men de støtter den operasjonen som foregår I Gaza, fordi de tenker at Hamas må stoppes. Adi, what do you think about your future?
I pray for peace. I pray for the safety return of everyone who's being held hostage. I pray for the safety of the people in Gaza as well. I hope that we free them from Hamas. I pray that we would be able to return back home and to build my own home in the place where I love, where I grew up, where I plan to start my family at. And I pray for peace. Who doesn't?
I want to add that I pray that in the world, in the whole entire world, we will stop, people will stop looking for the bad things and for the hate, and they will start looking for really the future, the bright things.
Jeg spurte Adika, hun tenkte om fremtiden. Hun sier at hun drømmer om en fremtid hvor hun kan bo der hun vokst opp og få starte sin familie og få leve i fred, og at hun ber om fred er for folket på Gazastripet, og annet at hun supplerer med at hun ønsker at alle skal få lov å leve trygt og godt. Vi skal også spørre Adid om hun tror hun kan komme hjem igjen noen gang. Adid, did you think you ever can move back to the place where you have lived the most of your life?
At this moment, it's hard for me to say. I still don't know the damage, not in my personal house, but not to the whole area. You know, two kibbutzim, which are neighboring to ours, have been completely destroyed. I'm not sure how I would feel driving down that road, seeing all of this damage, all of the places I grew up in completely destroyed. So at the moment, it's hard for me to say that I'll be back.
Adi, når hun spør om hun noensinne kommer til å flytte tilbake igjen, så kan hun egentlig ikke svare på det, for hun vet ikke hvordan hun vil reagere og få området hvor hun har vokst opp helt ødelagt med den bakgrunnen seg.
I am part of the management of my kibbutz, the people, and we are already starting thinking about the future and how and when and what are the best way for the community, full community, to think about coming back home. So this is another view, but it is, and we will have a long way, but we are thinking about how and when and what, whatever questions we need for going back.
Anat sier at hun og andre har begynt å tenke på hvordan de skal klare å komme tilbake igjen og bygge opp igjen det samfunnet som de en gang hadde. What do you think from your point of view about the media in Europe telling the story from the conflict?
I think it's a difficult time to be a Jew at the moment. It's difficult to see the history repeat, to see the whole support of terror from so many people. I think there is a lot of ignorance. There is a lot of misknowledge of people who choose to support a terror organization. And I feel it's important for Israelis to speak up, for Israel supporters to speak up. It's our lives, but it's just the way to the Western world. The terror organization will not stop after gaining the territory of Israel, which won't happen, but they won't stop. Their goals are set and they're very clear. They're after the West, they're after whoever is not thinking just like them. And it's important for us to be a part and speak up and make this stop.
Adid sier at det en vanskelig tid å være jøde for tida. Det vanskelig for dem å få at så mange rundt omkring i verden på en måte ikke tar avstand fra den terror som men nesten støtter den. Og at det viktig både for Israel og alle Israels venner rundt å stå opp og fortelle hva som egentlig skjer. For terroristerne, de vil ikke nøye seg bare med å ta Israel sitt land. De har veldig klart sagt at deres sitt mål å ta hele Vesten, alle som ikke tenker sånn som de gjør.
I also like just to ask people to make a very clear distinguish between freeing Palestine from Hamas and freeing Palestine from the Israeli territories or the Israeli control, because these are two different things. Israel is not controlling over the Gaza Strip. What Israel is doing right now is freeing Palestine from Hamas.
Og de vil gjerne tilføye at folk må klare å skille mellom det å bekjempe terrororganisasjonen Hamas, og at Israel nå kjemper for å frigjøre det palestinske folket fra Hamas, og at det et annet spørsmål enn spørsmålet om landet og den biten av konflikten.
I would like the press and the people who just want to know to ask much more questions, much more questions to the people who are living there and who are suffering and who are really not afraid from telling what's going on there. Okay. This will maybe give a big picture of the real situation in there and also asking about what Israel is doing in order to make it easier life, giving all the commercial, everything to Gaza as to support the people live better.
Han har oppfordret deg til å stille spørsmål og få vite hva som egentlig skjer, og at Israel ønsker at folket på Gaza skal få et bedre liv enn det de hadde.